The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is Keenan Allen, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the epic Roster Watch podcast brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap, and boy, do we have a big hitter on today. Well, a big hitter with a very violent Twitter handle, by the way. the FF Hitman. He's Mike Wright. He's from the Fantasy Footballers, of course. You can find the Fantasy Footballers at thefantasyfootballers.com. Probably the most popular fantasy podcast out there in the fantasy streets right now. Also, they have their Ultimate Draft Kit available at ultimatedraftkit.com. It has all of the rankings from our friend Jason, from Mike, from their guy Andy, and then also stuff like reception perception for Matt Harmon. It's a very, very dense and premium product that they have. Very highly recommended. That is ultimatedraftkit.com. Mike Wright, the Hitman. It's the scariest name. How did you get that name, by the way? I've never asked you. You're such a nice dude.
It's a bad story. It's so bad that it's funny to tell. Where back when the podcast was just myself and Andy, and no one listened to it. Andy was going to be out of town, and I was like, "Oh, we got to keep the podcast going." So I grabbed another guy from our office who was in our league, and it turned into like him not saying anything and me screwing around for an hour, just like talking to someone, but really talking for myself. And then I just started running all these jokes. I was like, "Andy can't stop me from doing anything because he's not here." And then I threw out the joke of like, I'm "like, dude, you need to start calling me the Fantasy Hitman," and like playing on how stupid it was. And then Andy came back the next week, and every time he would say my name, I would correct him, and he would get mad about it because it's so stupid. But because he was getting mad, I had to keep doing it, and it just became this bit. And then it was like, whatever. I mean, it kind of stuck on. And so I was like, it's not bad. My name's Mike Wright. If you go to Google and you Google Mike Wright, you're not going to find me. You're going to find a million other people. But so I was like, that's fine. I have a moniker that's not just my John Doe name.
No, yeah, just good. It's good. It's good. It's a good way to brand yourself. It's better than our guy, the trash man, who literally is heaping pile of junk, you know.
I love the trash man. I love his takes.
Hey, speaking of the trash man and trashy players, we should probably start out with. So I saw that Jeremy Hill was cut by the Raiders. Do you have a favorite Jeremy Hill Raiders moment? I figure we should show our respects. Maybe take a stroll down memory lane.
Last couple days.
Yeah,
I think he's done.
I don't know. Yeah, I think he's probably. I think he's probably done too. What about your boy David Johnson? Is he done now that he's out of Arizona?
Oh, man, it's so tough because like people forget how awesome he was for 8 weeks. I mean, you're talking like half of the season, David Johnson was just rattling off running back one numbers over and over, mostly because the offense he was in, and he still has pass catching chops. Like his hands are still great and he can still run a route and he can still win on a route. I don't know if he has it anymore in the legs, like the burst he needs to be, you know, like a 1,000-yard rusher. But we've done some studies over here. People love talking about vacated targets, and we've found there actually is a pretty decent correlation with vacated targets and then an uptick in running back targets the following to fill in that hole, because, you know, we like to play the game of, okay, receiver X is now taking over and there's 100 vacated targets. Well, of course they're going to get him because it's the wide receiver. Maybe the wide receiver is not good enough. You know, I mean, like, maybe they're not good enough to get open and get that target. So I think that David Johnson will see enough targets to be valuable for fantasy football. Does he still have it? I don't know, but Houston's going to score a bunch of points. And I think that, I think DJ is going appropriately in drafts. Like, I think his ADP is fine.
Yeah, I think so too. And you know, people talk about those vacant. That's an interesting point you bring up, because I saw today somebody that not even from the fantasy world, and it was Joe Shad, I think. He covers the Dolphins. And okay. So whenever there was the news that that Albert Wilson was going to clearly losing Albert Wilson's targets and Allen Hurns' targets, that's not a big that big. It's not like losing DeAndre Hopkins. But he was saying what he said is kind of not the most intuitive thing. Is he said, look for an uptick for Matt Breida as far as his use in the passing. It was kind of the same thing. And I think with David Johnson, like you mentioned, he averaged 20.2 fantasy points in PPR before he got hurt last year.
Yes.
I know you guys are Cardinals fans. So do you still think he's got some juice? I mean, are you interested in David Johnson? If you can get him in the fourth round
I'm interested if a draft falls the right way. I've been, in almost all my mocks, all my real drafts, I've been just pounding the running back at the beginning. So I get to the fourth round and because I like the wide receiver there more than I like David Johnson. So I haven't really set myself up to draft him. If a draft falls the right way, I wouldn't mind DJ as a running back too.
If you maybe went two running backs first and then you got like some kind of Chris Godwin fell to you in the third, and maybe you can get DJ in the fourth.
I don't mind it.
That can happen. I've had simulations where that kind of thing happens. So, but I've also, one of the things in simulations that's been kind of weird these last couple of days, and something I'm really trying to, speaking of Trashman, it's something Trashman and I talk a lot about. He's been so into Kenyon Drake. I don't know what to do about this Kenyon Drake.
Oh yeah.
Now versus Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Do you think, like,
so
Trashman's
heads up?
Yeah. I mean, even Trashman, who's been the biggest Kenyon Drake guy, even Trashman was saying at the end last season that Kenyon Drake was going to be a first round pick, a mid to late first round pick. I told him he was crazy. I mean, it's turned out that he's going in the late first now. I don't know whether to get Clyde Edwards-Helaire over him, because if you look at what Drake was able to do down the stretch, even though I've never liked him really, Boy, I should. Well, I mean, did you really like him before he got there?
I actually did. I also, Jason, one of our co-hosts over here on the Footballers, has had unpassionate support and love for Kenyon Drake since draft day, since Drake was drafted. And then you see him, like, when he gets the opportunity, he comes through. Like, that's what happened in Miami. But it was always be so weird as he would come through and then some other coach would come in and take the opportunity away from him. So it's like, okay, what do coaches know that we don't know? But like, things are really lined up for Drake here. This regime traded for him to try and make some kind of weird playoff push. I thought the trade was ridiculous at the time of, you're trading for a running back on an expiring contract and you just committed – like the second or third largest
I forgot what the compensation was.
I think it was a five that turned into a four, if I remember right off the top of my head. But anyway, so they trade for him. His contract is going to expire. You already have money invested in David Johnson. They were in a situation of you can't pay Drake. Like you can't submarine the team's cap to pay David Johnson and Kenyon Drake. Then they put the transition tag on him anyways. Now, I mean, as history played out, David Johnson was traded basically the exact same time they put the transition tag onto Kenyon Drake. But my point is they didn't know at the time what they were going to do with David Johnson. They just knew they had to keep Kenyon Drake, and they made sure that was going to happen by putting a contract on him that's going to give him $10 million this year.
Right.
So I think that they are all in on Kenyon Drake. He fit the scheme perfectly. And that, so that's the other point in David Johnson's favor, I will say. He looked lost. He looked like he did not belong in Cliff Kingsbury's system. And once you see an NFL player thinking on the field, that's when they start to look like David Johnson looked, where they just – they're slow because the decision is not an instinct. I know where – my body knows where it needs to go instead of having to, you know, break everything down up in your brain as a running back and then react. It's not going to work in the NFL. Everyone's way, way too big, way too fast. So that's a point of maybe DJ still has it. He was just such a poor scheme fit here in Arizona. Anyway, but so back to Drake. Dude, the running back position for Arizona was a gold mine last year. If you combine the starting running back, their output every single week for fantasy, it comes out to be the number three fantasy running back overall. Now, that was impossible to do last year because you had the week where David Johnson was back, quote, and then Chase Edmonds just goes ham because they don't even play David Johnson. You have the trade
for the Giants.
Yeah.
I can't believe I wanted to play Chase Edmonds in DFS, and I should have played him regardless.
You would have.
I should have played him.
Cashed.
Yeah.
And then you had the trade for Kenyon Drake, and it was, well, I can't play Kenyon Drake. They just got him. Chase Edmonds is around. It's San Francisco. I can't play Ken. And then he was like the RB7 that week. Mm-hmm.
So, yep.
Like my point is not that you could have predicted it last year. It's simply that it happened. The running back position for this Cliff Kingsbury high volume, rapid rate of play, and Kyler Murray is going to be a lot better. Oh yeah, and they added, you know, a without question top three wide receiver in the NFL is now on the team helping the offense be better, which is just more scoring opportunities. Which, you know, Kenyon Drake was a rushing touchdown machine. That's where he was getting a huge amount of his value in the second half of last year. So I'm all in on Kenyon Drake. I think he's a running back, low end running back one is where I'm willing to draft him with top five upside.
Yeah. So you do take him in front of Clyde?
I don't.
Okay. Right. Because I agree with you. Kenyon Drake, I mean, if you just look at his time at Arizona last year and you look at just his rate of monster, like his rate of games of over 25 points in PPR, there's nobody like the only guy better was Christian McCaffrey. He did it almost 60% of the time. But Kenyon Drake was at 37.5% of the time. That's better over the course of the last 2 years or even the last 3 years of Todd Gurley. Back when Todd Gurley was awesome, like dominating, it's better than Ezekiel Elliott. It's better than, you know, Alvin Jones. It's much better than Alvin Kamara. It's twice as good as Leonard Fournette and Chris Carson and Joe Mixon and Nick Chubb. It's like, as far as his distribution of scoring, he was giving you very, very, very big games, like almost over a third of the time. It's just so, but the case for Clyde over him.
It's simply Andy Reid and the running back. And it's like, you can choose how you want to look at the stats for Andy Reid running backs. And I take that positive approach of you go from Jamal Charles just absolutely wrecking people for fantasy. Now, Jamal Charles is a bit of a different player, you know, absolute elite athlete. But then you move in, all of a sudden it's Spencer Ware. Mm-hmm. Spencer Ware was great for fantasy when he was the known starter. Yep. Spencer Ware was great. And then you go right from that regime right into Kareem Hunt. We all know how great he was for fantasy. And then like Damian Williams is just like the cherry on top of the cake, saying, if you have the right skill set for Andy Reid's offense, you're going to produce. And on top of that, because you have Mahomes, you have a top three scoring offense in the NFL. If Patrick Mahomes is there, they're going to score a lot, increase the chance that your running back scores a touchdown, either a receiving touchdown or a rushing touchdown. So while I do think that Drake is probably a safer pick, screw that crap, man. I'm not taking safe picks. I'm playing to win. And Clyde Edwards has top three potential.
Oh, I totally agree. I would love to get Clyde and Drake. I could see it happening.
Sure. But I'm like, dude, August hasn't even happened yet, man. The casuals have not arrived yet back into fantasy football. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire is just going to start to skyrocket, especially as all of us talking heads start touting him.
Yeah, I think some of the casuals are starting to creep back in. I'm getting more and more questions about fantasy teams. It seems like that's usually a bit of an indicator there that people are getting psyched again. I actually have a question for my own fantasy team that I'd like to ask you. Okay, so I have a keeper league where I could keep Kyler Murray for a ninth rounder, or I could keep Terry McLaurin for a 15th rounder.
Oh man. Okay, that is tough. Because like that ninth round, that's the price you want to pay for Kyler. You're not going to get him there. I mean, he's a five or a fifth or a sixth round pick.
You got to take him in. Sometimes you can get him at the end of the sixth.
Yeah. So, I mean, Kyler is easy to project as that player to take the Lamar Jackson leap. I mean, because you're the same archetype of a quarterback. You don't get 1,000 rushing yards, but you're going to get 500 rushing yards, and you get way more passing volume with Kyler Murray. Mm-hmm. And he had a, off the top of my head, it was like a 3.7% touchdown rate, which is absurdly low, where like the league average is 4.5% of your attempts turn into a touchdown. And Kyler didn't have that. He also gets the benefit of DeAndre Hopkins. So like, Kyler's passing touchdown volume could go way, way up. He was also playing with a hurt Christian Kirk for the majority of the season, and they didn't have any other superstars besides an aging Larry Fitzgerald. So he's super interesting in the ninth. But, you know, I just – the way I play with quarterback of the – I assume this is a single quarterback.
Yeah, it's just single quarterback. It's a single quarterback home league. It's my oldest league with a bunch of dudes who really are still of the mindset that they – like these guys take – these guys each take two quarterbacks, and they okay. take them a little bit earlier and stuff. And so that's just just something to throw in.
But yeah, no, I get it.
I think it might be hard to pass on McLaurin in the 15th.
Yes, I was going to say McLaurin's comps. If you look at like since 2000, the history of guys that put up his production, he's surrounded by elite company, man. And he would have had 1,000 yards had he not gotten hurt right at the very end of the year. Easy would have had 1,000 yards, But players that put up very similar production to him are guys like Andre Johnson and Julio Jones. And they're like, he's right there with their production. And I think the sky's the limit for what Terry McLaurin could do, even with Haskins. I mean, like people like to point out, you know, look, Haskins was bad, man. Like there's no arguing that when Haskins started, he was bad. He did get better towards the end of the year. If I'm remembering it right, he had, I think, 7 passing touchdowns in his starts, which is terrible. But 6 of those touchdowns were his final 3 games. Like, it was starting to come together.
The yardage starting to take selfies with the crowd.
Yeah, he was getting into it. And, I mean, my point was Terry McLaurin splits pre-Dwayne Haskins as a starter. He averaged 64 yards a game. After Haskins was the starter, he averaged 65 yards a game. Like, his yardage was there. The touchdowns did go down. And now you have the Alex Smith factor is in play, as insane as a miracle as it sounds that Alex Smith might play football again. He might. And if Alex Smith is not playing, he's at least there coaching up Dwayne Haskins. And I would love to have my young quarterback be coached up by Alex Smith. So McLaurin is probably my pick. I mean, free. Although Kyler in the ninth, it's whatever. The cost is not a factor for me. It's who do I want? What, like, can I get a top 15 wide receiver in the 15th round? And that sounds pretty freaking good.
Right. All right. Well, I appreciate the advice, because everybody cares so much about my fantasy team. And I'll say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I say we all do it. Like, I ask Jason and Andy advice on my team. Totally. Like, it's much easier to give advice on what someone could do, because I'm not emotionally connected to your team or your players.
Or my league that's full of complete assholes, right? I think I heard, and you might not know off the top of your head, but I haven't got my hands on your ultimate draft kit yet, but I think I've heard, whether it was Jason Moore telling me or just seen on Twitter, Matt Harmon's perception really liked Terry McLaurin, I believe. So yes, that's just also something to keep in mind there.
Yeah, he grades out as a basically an elite wide receiver. I think he was funny because I'm talking about Terry on tomorrow's show. So I think I have the note right here. Let's see. Yeah, third. So he was he graded out as the third best rookie wide receiver against press coverage, which as like you know, yep. like because you're in football, that's a big jump for. When college wide receivers all of a sudden have to face press coverage against grown men, like the press coverage is not really the go-to anymore in college anyways. So it's this whole mm-hmm. new thing that they're having to deal with. And the top three guys that graded out as rookies, Odell Beckham, Tyreek Hill, and now Terry McLaurin.
The 2020 Roster Watch Draft Cheat Sheet is available now at rosterwatch.com. The revolutionary cheat sheet is back. Just follow the three simple rules and an expert quality draft is guaranteed. That's it, three simple rules.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Doesn't get any easier. Winning fantasy players don't use outdated magazines or expensive draft software that's impossible to navigate. Just bring along the RosterWatch cheat sheet to your draft and dominate. It's only $5.99. Download now at rosterwatch.com. It's the ultimate draft cheat sheet only at rosterwatch.com.
How are things going to translate for Keenan Allen? Like, have you all talked much about? I haven't heard much talk about Keenan Allen from anybody this offseason.
Because it just feel like people, man.
Yeah, people are tossing the baby out with the bathwater here because of Tyrod Taylor. Are they or I mean, is it? What yeah. is it? What is it?
It is definitely a little bit of that because we saw Taylor sustain fantasy value like for Sammy Watkins, the Lizard King, his rookie year, Sammy's rookie year. But other than that, I mean, we haven't really seen wide receiver production from Taylor because he can run. And like
yep.
what people don't necessarily correlate with when a quarterback runs, it's because they're choosing to not keep their eyes down the field, find the open receiver and throw it. This play has gone to trash immediately. I'm out. I'm bailing. I'm going to run. That's a passing attempt that is now gone that Phillip Rivers would have had a passing attempt.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah, he would have.
Yeah. Yes. Of course. Rivers. So you combine that with it, just the concern of a new quarterback in the system. Keenan Allen is elite, man. He's an elite route runner. He's one of the best wide receivers. He will tell you he's the best wide receiver in the AFC if you follow his Twitter account.
Yep.
But – and then the questions of how long is Taylor the starter? Like, and then if it's not, now you have Herbert who – look, yeah, I'm kind of with you on Herbert. But, look, I'm not an NFL scout. I miss on quarterback evaluations. They miss on quarterback evaluations. But it's a scary situation to put all of the faith into Keenan Allen being an elite wide receiver when you're so connected to the play of your quarterback for fantasy purposes. So I think he's fine, his ADP where he is. I'm okay taking him there. But when you do it, man, you just got to just remind yourself, like, he's great. He's an elite wide receiver. I believe in the talent of the player. Life will find a way to get it done.
He has the courage to tell Le'Veon Bell that his music sucks. That's another thing that that's another
I didn't
thing that
know
I,
that one. That's another good. Thing
that I really, really, really like about him. Okay, so how about this? This is a little exercise I was thinking about to maybe ask Trashman on our Sirius show this weekend, but I thought I'd just ask you just to see if you had so basically which one of these wide receivers is currently being taken as a wide receiver two in fantasy do you think has the best shot of ending up as a wide receiver one? And the guy's ending up as the wide receiver one. So we're talking
about
the shot of being like the overall best. So a low likelihood scenario, right? But just which one do you think has the best chance? So, okay, so the guys going is wide receiver twos right now in half point PPR are Odell Beckham, Cooper Kupp, AJ Brown, DJ Moore, Calvin Ridley, Cortland Sutton, Juju Smith-Schuster, Keenan Allen, Tyler Lockett, T.Y. Hilton, DK Metcalf, DJ Chark, and Devontae Parker. Could you make a rational case that for any one of those guys to finish as the wide receiver one in fantasy?
Yeah, yeah. Let's. I mean, Beckham is the easy one, and I don't want to take that just because we've seen him, you know, basically do that.
Yeah.
And I'm by the way, I'm back with Beckham.
I think like Beckham I think Beckham one year actually was the wide receiver one.
I don't know if he hit it or not. His rookie year, he was, you know, 1,400 yards or whatever and double digit touchdowns. I don't know if he actually hit the one or not. But I just wanted to throw out, I'm in on that. Beckham was hurt. He got hurt in training camp. He was hurt the entire year and he's going to be better. Are you bypassing Odell Beckham in your drafts or are you okay taking him in back to glory?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's Odell Beckham. Like I've never been off. I'm not going to jump off now. Now's not the time, you know.
Okay, I'm just checking in.
What's
funny is I'm actually lower on Cooper Kupp than, like, especially the rest of the footballers. I think I'm lower on him than everyone else because I'm worried about what happened at the end of the season. I know it could be it fell off because he forced the rehab issue with his ACL to get back on the field. And I don't know what that is like, but I hear people that I respect, injury people, saying his legs gave up on him and he just, you know, he wore out. So mm-hmm. he should be back to health. And then if he's back to health, Jared Goff returns to form because it was a bit of a disaster last year. And they're really just, they're running the two wide receivers and the tight ends. So like mm-hmm. you don't have to worry about Brandon Cooks taking targets or anything like that because Cooper Kupp is a touchdown threat. If you're going to be the number one guy, you've got to hit double digit touchdowns. Like if you can't do that, you're out for me. And Cooper Kupp is one of those guys that he could have a fluky 16 plus touchdown year. It could just bounce that way. And then, so I could see him ending at number one, even though I'm lower on him than most people.
With Odell Beckham, what it was in 2015, his second year. He only played 15 games, but he ended up as wide receiver two in fantasy points per game behind Antonio Brown by only 0.5 points. If he would have played all 16 games and would have gotten 20 points in that final game of the season, he would have finished wide receiver one. That's what I was thinking about.
He can
do it for sure. And the thing about Kupp too is, like, especially if you're thinking about in PPR, I mean, he's finished as what? Like, I mean, he's had near top five finishes, you know, in PPR. So I think that's a perfectly reasonable answer. All right. So a quick thing I wanted to go through here with you, where you have to pick a side, and this is not always football, but I made probably 10.
These are the best questions.
10 to 15 questions here. We'll start out with football and it'll devolve from there. So robust RB versus zero RB. You have robust. To pick a side. Okay.
It's easy for me. It's robust.
Analytics Twitter versus film Twitter. You have to pick a side.
If I have to pick a side, I have to go with analytics. I use both. Both are, I believe, very necessary. The problem with film is it's subjective. I can't prove anything to you because it's just my opinion but I can make numbers say things that they aren't actually saying.
You can't put a number on a guy's elite vision or his hip right. swivel.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Would you, so you have to pick a side. You have to do one of these two things. You have to pick a side. You have to answer Twitter, sit start questions for 24 hours straight. Or you can have no food for 36 hours straight.
Oh man, no food. Can I have water?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You can have water. Nothing like a smoothie or anything like that.
Yeah. Man, I know myself. I probably have to take the 24-hour Twitter-a-thon.
You really couldn't hack it. for that for 36 hours?
Dude, I fall apart without food.
I fall apart answering Twitter set story question.
No, they are the least favorite part of the job, but okay. I'm here for the people. I'm trying to help.
Yeah. What if, okay, I'm not even going to put that qualification, but I'll just tell people the worst way to ask one of these questions is just to tweet at somebody and say like Calvin Ridley or DJ Chark. It's like, I'm going to get back to you. You didn't even have the fucking courtesy to say, oh, hey, Alex, can you tell me who you'd rather pick? You know,
okay. What's the harder part? Like if someone wants to ask me, you know, DJ Chark or Raheem Mostert. Okay, mm-hmm. I get it. Maybe you don't have access to my flex rankings. But if you're literally asking me position to position, dude, those are 100% free. They are on my website. I get it. I get they want like the actual, this is the stamp, this is the nod of approval. Mm-hmm. I am speaking this into existence. But the rankings are there.
Okay.
Feel free to look.
Let's say you're in Arizona. Green, you have to take a side. Green salsa or red salsa?
Red.
I mean, who would take the green salsa side?
I don't know. I've come around that I can eat it now. It always used to like freak me out. I can eat it and it's fine, but red salsa is much better.
What about if you go to Chipotle? You have to pick a side: guacamole or shredded cheese.
Oh, shredded cheese. You got to have the cheese. I can go without guac.
You're just throwing out the guac, huh?
Look, I want the guacamole. Much, Alex, you're making me choose a side, man. Yeah.
Guac's a much more expensive item. So
I can say extra cheese, and they'll give me extra cheese.
True. All right. Well, speaking of Arizona, you have to pick a side. Sweltering summer heat versus miserable winter cold.
The problem is I've never actually experienced cold winter. I mean, I can only imagine what it's like. Because cold here is it's like the 40s.
It's down to 58. Yeah.
I mean, but for us, it's cold. I think I would prefer the cold, but that's because I've just experienced so many of the summers and they are the absolute worst.
Yeah, well, I mean, spend a winter in Minnesota, and you might not think that it's the worst anymore.
That's why I'm qualifying.
You have to pick a side: a swift kick to the nuts or 3 hours of brain freeze. Like the brain freeze from eating ice cream, or like
right? Like, no, you
and the feeling is that feeling right at first, not kind of after it subsides and you've gotten a hang of it.
Now let me ask if you've experienced this. I can't prove this. This is like film analysis here, but I feel like as I've gotten older, the intensity when I get a brain freeze, it's far worse. They get worse and worse the older I get. Hmm. Have you noticed this?
No, I haven't noticed any real difference. Well, I've always hated them.
Yeah, they're terrible. But now that I've inceptioned that thought into your brain, prepare for them to get even worse. But Jesus so Christ, 3 hours? No, man. Just get it over with. Yeah.
I'm sure to say it's a swift kick. It comes and goes quickly. Okay.
You're still paying for that 3 hours later, probably.
Here's a deep one. Would you rather do something not to disappoint them, you know, deeply or like in a way that's really going to hurt them emotionally, but would you rather disappoint your wife or your kid?
My wife.
really? Okay. I think I'd rather disappoint my kid. I don't think that they would. I mean, my kids are so young. I'm not sure that they would remember any big disappointments from me.
Yeah. No, they probably won't, but I've got three of them. So they'd all probably gang up on me.
Okay. Fair enough. For me, it's just, I try to go by that happy wife, happy life. I'm not sure about the happy kid, happy anything else. All right. Just a few more of these.
It's all correlated, man, because the kid will, disappoint the kids, now I've disappointed the wife.
You know what? That's the answer. The answer is you don't, because if you disappoint the kids, you disappoint the kids and the wife. If you disappoint the wife, then at least you're only getting it from one side.
Exactly.
It's fucking brilliant. Okay. just a few more here. We're good, man.
These are fun.
You have to pick a side. Sweat ketchup versus pea mustard.
Okay, as in these are my now bodily functions. I'm not.
Yes. Yeah. You go outside, you get a little sweaty. You got to pat the ketchup off your.
Okay. And is pea mustard? Is that what it was?
Yeah, you got to pee out.
You got to go with the pee the mustard, man. Like in Arizona, we're all just going to look like crime scenes walking okay, around. No,
that makes sense. Makes sense. It's gonna sound like a crime scene every time you go.
Oh yeah, I didn't factor in the pain of the urethra, but
the vinegar content. Yeah.
Oh man, that's okay. Not going to be good.
Just one more that kind of is a painful one.
All right.
But you have to pick a side. If you have hot coffee, just pour it on top, just on top of your head, not in your face, on top of your head.
Okay.
Or eat a live scorpion.
Man, it's probably the scorpion, because I think if you go fast enough, I think
it might not bite you.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing about scorpions is they don't bite you. Alex, they they pinch you or they get you with the poison tail.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, these are like the most frightening creatures that you can ever encounter in the wild. And they're not very large, but they are still terrifying the way that they move and come at you. But a whole thing of coffee poured on the brain at hot temperatures. I think I can get the scorpion. I think I can get him before he gets me.
Okay. Last two. But you have to choose sides here. Well, you have to be 2 feet taller or 2 feet shorter?
Taller.
You want to walk around being like 8'2"? I think you're like what? You're over 6 feet tall, right?
I'm 6 foot, but like I'll be in the NBA. It'll happen.
Okay, fair enough. And then finally,
me 8 feet tall, I still would not be able to dunk. Okay. That's how unathletic I am.
Okay, and then finally, I thought this one was hard. I don't, because I'm down here in Texas, where the weather's a lot like you guys. But you have to pick a side. No air conditioning for 1 day, or no refrigeration for 1 week. And by refrigeration, I just mean electric refrigeration, your refrigerator, your freezer, the places where you keep stuff. Cold.
And no, it's the refrigerator. if you haven't experienced the power outage in Arizona in the summer, so this is how it goes. You immediately call, you know, whoever, the AC people, and you tell them like, no, it's out, and you will move up the list because you will become high priority. It still might take hours for them to get there, but like, it's an actual emergency. If you don't have AC, you're calling hotels. You aren't staying at that house anymore, because your house will be 90 degrees in a couple hours.
Yeah. And you can't, and unless you get like, I've even looked into buying generators in case it happens. If you buy one of these these generators don't work on a full HVAC system. It's like you got to buy the whole
generator.
No, not the ones you put gas in. You crank up in the fucking driveway. Those things are enough to keep your like refrigerator on. Maybe have a couple fans. You can plug in your iPhone.
Got to get that Tesla Powerwall, man.
Yeah,
get batteried up.
I need to sell a whole lot more of these draft kits before you get that going on. All right. So again, he's been Mike Wright of the Fantasy Footballers. Speaking of draft kits, you can find there.
I've been him, but I still am him.
He has been. He continues to be, and I'm assuming he will continue to be into the future.
I hope
you can find him on Twitter at FFHitman. You can find the draft kit at ultimatedraftkit.com, and of course, you can find their content if you'd like to know an answer to a single position sit start question. You can of course find that at thefantasyfootballers.com. Mike, I'll get you out of here with this one, brother.
All right.
Love having you on. Thanks so much for doing it.
Oh, it's always good to be here.
I want to know one player whose ADP is so egregious and cockamamie in one way or another that you can't even bend your mind up to even understand it.
Oh man. So usually We did a mock draft on today's Footballers podcast, and he was there in the sixth round, and it's Mark Ingram, like the starting running back for the Baltimore Ravens. And he just, every mock I'm in, every draft I'm in, he's always there. And I get that he over succeeded based on his volume last year. Why would he not be able to do that again? His situation might be better. I get that. Look, J.K. Dobbins is there. I think Dobbins is a stud. But it's still Mark Ingram's job. He is still the man. Their defense added Calais Campbell. Like the strategy of defense, pound the ball, and then have Lamar Jackson scramble and then throw a deep pass to Mark Andrews or Hollywood Brown. Dude, like Mark Ingram could hit double-digit rushing touchdowns easily again. And try finding a running back in the sixth round who has that potential.